Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, honey.
Welcome to the Parenting the Future podcast with Chris Allen.
And Dr. Kim Allen.
And we've taken our summer hiatus, which we started in the middle of winter, and now we're done.
We did. We like a siesta in the family.
Yeah, we do. So we're back, and we're hopefully we're going to make this a little bit more regular moving forward. But we're going to start like we typically do with talking about current events. What we got going on right now is that kids are all going back to school on and all the different types of schools. Actually, our youngest daughter, Sophia, she has already gone to school. Started in July because she's on a modified scheduled school. And our other daughter started last week for her first week of high school.
Well, that's an interesting story.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, so we have a kid who's sort of all or nothing. Our 14-year-old Fiona will either totally impress us or sit on her butt all day long every day doing nothing. Yeah. So this spring, we didn't realize it. I mean, she mentioned it. I guess I can't say I didn't know it. But she applied for this CTE school, which is Career Technical Education. When I first heard of career technical education, I thought of VOAG or VOTEC. Do you remember that from our youth?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so I had these images of a particular type of kid getting on a school bus and going away for the day and then coming back.
I always picked, in our school is big enough that it actually was there at school, but it was where all the smoking kids were.
Oh, it's the smoking kids.
Yeah, working on cars and
wood shop and car mechanics.
Yeah, we're living in the future, different now.
So she applied to this school, which was, sort of my image, and I didn't give it much thought. I actually thought it was only open to 10th graders because the first year it was only open to 10th and up. But we got a call a week before school started saying they had accidentally misplaced her application, but it turned out she had a strong application. As a matter of fact, one of the strongest they had for the field of welding. And so she was accepted into the welding program at the Career Technical School here in Raleigh.
Yeah, so... kind of you think too at first welding. Where could you go with that? And if you look at just some of the immediate things, there's not. Again, it's blue collar work. You think maybe an assembly line. But I started remembering some of the stuff that I was reading in Wired magazine, especially with the makers movement, and I realized that one of the key makers out there was a woman. And I remember her posing as Rosie the Riveter on the cover with a plasma welder, and now she has a pretty good business, and it's fascinating that that there's a lot more going on out there with welding than meets the eye. So we kind of opened our mind up to it, and we said, okay, let's give it a try.
Right, and it really didn't take much to open our mind because we are of the following that our kids have enough autonomy that if they have a strong interest, we want to support them. And so when Fiona said this was something she really wanted, although I had to reframe my image from what I thought CTE was, turns out it's a high achieving school. You have to maintain a 3.0 or above even to get in or stay there. So it's academically rigorous. She takes all honors classes and AP classes and finishes high school content in the first 2 years, leaving her open to study welding and get a welding certificate and take college courses her second 2 years of high school. So by the time she's finished with high school, she'll have a welding certificate and about a year's worth of college credit. And she has aspirations to work for Elon Musk, right?
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah.
And some of the interesting welding that they're doing when it comes to building their rockets.
Right, so she wants to start by building ships in Scandinavia underwater and then move to working on spaceships in California, maybe. I don't know where they do their building, but...
Yeah, it's California in, in L.A. So, yeah, so she's... There's a process there, and there's some very interesting things that they're going on with in the world of welding and manual construction when it comes to very specialized things like building spaceships. So we think it's a good plan for her, and so far I think she's probably had the best time in school that she's ever had that I remember.
Ever, I agree.
And it's a neat school. I mean, it was refurbished from an old Coca-Cola bottling plant, and the insides are built with all the everything is state of the art.
Well, because it's also a college campus, so it's a partnership between our community college,
yes,
and high school system,
which is a community college system. You know, again, so you have a one picture of community college, but. This particular community college system is gaining some renown as a very forward thinking and doing a lot of very interesting things, and which will lead into one of our discussions later on, actually, in the podcast.
Absolutely.
And then what we'll probably do as well as we're talking along is my son, who started his second year of college just recently, is actually going to that community college to learn how to do gaming design, which is also being done at this high school, too, mm-hmm. which is kind of mm-hmm. neat. Where we live in North Carolina, there happens to be a lot of gaming companies,
right?
And doing a lot of different and simulation companies. So there's a lot of interesting things going on out there. So there's a lot of employment for these kids that are actually going into these development classes.
So I asked Fiona, what is it that she loves so much about going to the school? Do you know what she said?
What was that?
She said that the teachers actually treat her as if she knows something. So it sounds as if the teachers are pretty respectful, and because they do a lot of project-based learning, and because these are kids who don't necessarily learn in that traditional lecture note-taking, this is how you train to work in a factory mentality from the 1950s that many of our courses have today in high school, this school actually uses youth development theory. That's that experiential learning theory where kids are learning by doing. So when Fiona begins her welding classes, she will actually be welding. And because welding is such a need in our community, she can get a paid internship that pays a full on wage during her high school classes.
Yeah,
pretty neat. How cool is that?
Pretty neat, yeah.
Yeah. So we're super psyched about this new opportunity for her. We had to let go of some of our own ideas of what high school means, what high school would be for our kids. I had some ideas about, you know, going to the football game or trying out for the play.
Sure. And she gets an opportunity to do a few things like that through the standard school. She's wanting to be on the diving team and so forth. So there's some opportunities there. But yes, it's going to be a different high school experience than most kids have.
She's a different kid than most kids.
Oh, absolutely.
Kids are.
Yeah, she applied for it and got in herself.
She did it herself.
Did it herself. So.
So we had one going to high school and then one going to middle school. We had two big transitions this year.
Yes, and that's also going very well, too.
And it's going really well because Sophia really struggled with math in fifth grade, a little bit in fourth grade, but really struggled in fifth grade. And she brought home
all A's.
All A's. The best grades she's ever had.
Yeah, so
middle school seems to be going well. Actually, knock on wood, we aren't. I mean, it's funny. I have a PhD. Chris is highly educated. We value education, but our kids have not had a lot of success in schools. So this is a nice change. They're both happy. They're both doing well. And I realized this was my 14th summer of being a mom, and I only have 7 more to go. So my summers of being a mom with minor kids are almost over, like two-thirds of the way over.
Yeah, almost there.
Isn't that crazy?
It is pretty crazy. So.
Yeah. But summer's over, and our kids are doing great, and it's funny because we've been talking about Skylar. He also had a big transition this summer.
Yes.
He moved out of our house.
And he's on it completely on his own. He's got his own, own apartment and going to school, got his own job. He's struggling a little bit, but that's what you do when you're young and in college. So.
He's got his own girlfriend.
Yes.
Who's also his roommate.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting.
Very, very interesting.
Very 21st century.
Yeah. And my oldest daughter also doing something very interesting in this century. And she's actually been in, I don't think she spent much time in the United States since she graduated high school. She's been abroad living in Ireland for several years. And now she's been in China for a few years as a, what would it be
like,
saying?
I guess like a nanny and a tutor,
mm-hmm. English tutor for some kids in China. So, everybody doing a little bit non-traditional than even you and I went when we went to college and did that kind of traditional go right after high school and go to the standard stuff. So it's going to be it's pretty interesting. And we here another just kind of a background thing too is that we live in an area where there's a lot of not just colleges but fantastic colleges, and this week was the week that all the college students came back too. So it's like there's a big feeling of school being back in. And mm-hmm. then tomorrow is actually the first day of school for all the regular classes traditional throughout our area. So that's it's all in the air right now. So it's a good conversation.
Back to school time. So speaking of back to school. It's back to school at NC State, and so our class has started, and every summer we have a faculty retreat. And this year I got to pick the book that we read as a one read for our faculty, and this is the very thing we talked about when we read College Unbound, The Future of Higher Education and What It Means for Students. And it was really interesting reading that book because it talked about exactly what we just talked about with Fiona and Skylar. This idea that a traditional brick and mortar go away to school for your first time ever experience for students and spending an exorbitant amount of money is not necessarily the only option anymore for students.
And no, as a matter of fact, it could be. It's becoming. Damaging to them. You'll get kids that will go to these expensive schools and,
right.
and they'll be under crushing debt.
Right.
And they're not going to get any more of an education or more experience than they would from a state school or something online or something that even community colleges are fulfilling.
Absolutely. So I think our kids have the advantage of us having these conversations with them, but nobody had that conversation with me. And I have students who no one had that conversation with them. So I and they have these ridiculous student loan bills to pay back. So I just think it's exciting that there's someone out there talking about there are other options for students. So the fact that they can get some of their credits in high school, the fact that they can pick and choose community colleges, which never had the rigor and options that they have now. It's a pretty exciting time to be sending kids off to college.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, one of the colleges that they talk about in the book as an example of exemplary community college is Wake County Community College, which is the community college in our community. And
that both of our children,
yeah, we got
Skylar's going to, and Fiona will be going to it when she gets to that level of coursework in high school.
Yeah, and it's the whole university system in North Carolina has helped that process where kids can start there and, you know, without any kind of restrictions or holdbacks, those can transfer to those universities. And it allows a lot of kids to get a very affordable education, kids that might not otherwise be able to come even close to affording it, and getting those first years of college in, and then being able then to go to the state schools, which state schools now have become very expensive. It also gives them another chance to possibly get a little bit better grades than maybe they got in high school. They can get better grades in college.
Another issue is it's so difficult to get into college now. I was in our faculty meeting. They were saying, you know, it's not uncommon for above 4.0s to get accepted in. So because of the new honors courses and AP courses, that traditional 3.0 is not even high enough to get into a state school anymore.
Yeah, they have to have, I'd imagine there's got to be some kind of restrictive piece because there's just so many people applying to college.
Exactly. So having difficulty getting into college, that's just one more pressure. We talked last podcast, which was 6 months ago, about pressure and anxiety and stress for these kids. So it's really a lot to be having all that pressure. So I think, once again, it's a wonderful change in higher education that students are having more choice.
Yeah, I think so. I think that what we're seeing is an opening up of all kinds of experiences that kids can have right after school that doesn't have anything to do with going to a standard or traditional university.
So what's your favorite, like when you think back to your college, especially your freshman year, your intro, what are some of your fondest experiences or memories? Maybe not specific stories, but what was important to you about your first year of college?
My first year of college, it was the experiences that I had with my classmates,
and my
dorm mates, and what we were all going through at the same time. Because in general, we were taking the same classes. It was still a time where you had to take math and English and history. So we were all going through that same process, and we were seeing the whole calling out process that ends up happening too when you're a freshman. Because I remember my dorm, the floor that I was on, completely filled at the beginning of the year. By the end, half the people were gone.
Oh, man.
So that process where people were just left because this all of a sudden realized it wasn't for them.
Yeah. It's an expensive realization.
Yeah.
But like you, that was my experience. When I went to good old Cotty C, mm-hmm. a small women's college. Cotty, shout out. It was really all about the friendships I made. I think I could have gotten an education anywhere, but having those friendships. But when Fiona talked about her ability to find similar people all across the world through the internet, again, I don't know. I think that year or two of 18, 19, 20, where you go from being an adolescent in your parents' home to being a young adult, that's the college experience we often think of, but Skylar's figuring that out without living in a dorm. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking myself into that it's okay to have this change, but there is a part of me that likes the idea of the safety net that college, on-campus college, provides.
Yeah, for some kids, I think it's really not it's that segue. It provides, like you're saying, a safe environment to make that transition in, away from home. You are away from home, but yet there's overseers essentially watching after things. And you're right. A lot of these other non-traditional ways, community college doesn't have dorms. You don't have that, the experience of that piece of it. Typically when you go to class, you have your classmates there, but when you're done, everybody just goes home.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go to a place to go and hang out together, to eat, to meet, to do those things. You don't go on the weekends and go to the football game together. You don't do those kind of things in a community college or online. Those kind of things, I think, do get lost. But is there something being lost because of the thing you're saying is that, you know, kids are already getting their groups but before they even get to college. I got that group when I got to college, I think, because they did a good job of bringing those kind of people that were like-minded together, even though there's different ethnicities and different backgrounds as far as, you know, being from the city, being from suburbs, being from the country. But when we got all together, there was a lot of similarities just because we were going to the same school and, again, experiencing those same experiences. But kids are already getting that now, so is that important?
So I just noticed that we've both made references to going to the football games.
Yeah.
I never went to a single football game ever at any college I ever went to or in high school. And as a matter of fact, my first college football game was as a professor at NC State.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, I got to admit, I never went to any either. I will say this. I did go to, there's only one type of game that we did go to in college, and that was swimming, because my good roommate and a friend, you know, friend to a lot of people on the dorm hall was in swimming. So,
oh, nice. All right. Well, I think we've talked about college and back to school almost as much as we can. So let's talk a little bit about some evidence-based practices we might want to try this week. Anything going on that you want to look at changing in terms of how you're parenting or how technology is working in our house?
Yeah, I think we've not done the process that some people do when summer actually winds down for kids. We actually go through a process of getting it so they're not watching so much TV. During summer, it's a little bit more relaxed. They get to do a little bit more what they want to do, which in this case is a lot of nothing. And so we've not done a good job of bringing them back into coming into school and getting them activities. They're still doing a lot of those things that they were doing in the summer, just with the addition of going to school during the day. So what I'd like to be able to do starting today is get them more outside, get them doing activities again, get them watching a lot less TV, which in a little bit of a way is going to be hard because, you know, the TV seasons are starting up and there's stuff we actually like. And that's the tough part. We all like stuff. TV's got a golden era going on. So there's a lot of really cool stuff to watch. And we're just as guilty of that as possible. So we have to all together make that push to get us out of the house and do things.
Yeah, I would say that's probably one of our biggest parenting fails is the sheer number of screen time hours both of our children consume.
Yeah. I would say that's very, that's definitely the case.
So I feel a little proud that we kicked him out of the house just a few minutes ago and told him that they had to go on a bike ride.
Yeah. Even though one of the kids left a bike halfway through the ride.
She just left it. She just came back in. She said, I left my bike at the high school, not even the high school that she goes to.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I was like, I don't even know what that's going. I don't know what she's
go
even thinking.
Go get your bike. That's what we told her. Go get more physical activity. It's too hot. I don't want to go. They do not like physical activity.
Yeah, especially when the temperature is not within the range of between 71 and 74 degrees.
Right.
That's pretty much their limit. So, yeah, we got to get them. Got to get them out more. And I think that's going to be one of our biggest challenges. I think in the coming weeks.
And you know when they're most likely to engage in physical activity?
When's that?
When we're doing it with them.
Yeah, and that's tough for us too.
I know. So we have to lead by example, don't we?
Yes.
We have to get up off our own rumps and get out there and exercise with them. I think that'll help.
Exactly.
And it won't hurt you or me to do that.
Well, except maybe this weekend, it probably hurt you a little bit.
Well, it might hurt because I threw my back out and I've been laying around pitifully all weekend.
So sometimes our bodies actually tell us when
it's
we do stress out.
Break.
There are a few things that we did stress ourselves over for the past 3 weeks that we didn't give ourselves a break. And I think it got to the point where our bodies are telling us that, and basically shutting down on us. And
by our bodies, you mean my body.
Your body basically saying, you're going to stop. So we're winding down this week, but I think we can start this week as school starts for everybody else. I think it's all going to become more routine now.
So I think we're about to log off. And when we log off, we always have to answer the question, what are we doing to make the world a better place? I can go first.
Yes, please go first because I cannot think of a thing right now.
Okay, this is both a terrible and brilliant answer.
Okay.
I am watching I Am Kate.
Oh, no.
Do you know what that is?
No, but I think I might guess.
Okay, guess.
No, I'm not going to guess. You just tell me.
Have you ever heard of that guy named Bruce Jenner?
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
I thought it was something else.
No, no. He is turning into he's transgender, so he's transitioning into a woman. And so I feel like I am becoming a little more aware of the transgender community watching that show. He's becoming a big advocate. And I know Fiona has a strong passion and interest in a lot of friends who are trans. I would say they're gender fluid. They aren't. I think they're exploring their gender. They're not exactly sure what gender they are, so they.
Yeah.
We have to call them they. She had a friend this weekend who wanted to go by the pronoun they.
Oh, okay.
So I feel like, you know, I'm doing my part watching screen time, watching I Am Kate, learning more. It's quite a compelling show, believe it or not.
Oh, good, good. I'm just struggling to just try to find my own way in the world at 45 years old right now, so I'm just barely making it day to day myself, so.
Oh, that sounds tragic.
It is tragic, but what I might do to make the world a bit better place is I might pay attention to our dog tonight and give him a couple pets on the head and tell him he's okay.
Well, I hope things start looking up for you very soon, Mr. Allen.
I hope so too. So, thanks everybody.
I hope you all have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.